Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for your holy gospel. Amen. God knows that we cannot do it alone. We often fool ourselves into believing that we are capable of going it alone without God. Others may even play a role in convincing us that it is possible. Of course, God always knows better. Back in 1995, I was on my first mission trip to Ecuador with the Bishop of Atlanta, Frank Allen, the Bishop of Venezuela, Onel Soto, and a rector colleague friend of mine, Fred Jones, the then rector of Grace Church in Gainesville, Georgia. We were there to establish a companion diocese relationship with Central Ecuador. And as such, our travels took us from the capital city of Quito to some very remote indigenous Indian villages high in the mountains. Quito itself is at 9,000 feet above sea level, and of course you go way up to over 10,000 feet, and it takes some getting used to. And we were in a town called Guarando, and it was there that I believed that I could do it alone. The night before, I had become quite ill in my room. Later discovered it to be food poisoning. However, I decided not to mention this to anyone because I didn't want to be a bother. I didn't want to slow us down. And we had a long journey ahead of us to a village filled with Christians excited about our arrival. It was a big deal for two bishops to be coming to their church. So at breakfast, I barely ate. I didn't drink anything. And quietly excused myself to be sick one more time before our departure. And then into the old Range Rovers we went and off for about a 4-hour journey over difficult terrain. Fortunately for this priest going it alone, Bishop Onel Soto had arranged for us to stop in the city of Ambato, a fairly populous city with a beautiful Anglican cathedral that he wanted us to see. And as we pulled up to the cathedral, Fred Jones and I walked together into the cathedral, and I was feeling really poorly at that moment, and we knelt to pray. I finally succumbed to the knowledge that I needed to tell someone how I felt, and I shared with Fred, who was a gentle giant, some 6 feet, 6 inches tall, great big guy with a wonderful smile. And I told him I was about to pass out and had been very sick. And I fell into his arms at that moment and remember very little after that. But his quick thinking and the blessing of a doctor's office literally across the street, who happened to have IV fluids in that office, literally saved my life at age 35. They told me much later I was very close to death. If I had gone to sleep somewhere by myself, I would have died. And I realized hours later how silly of me to think that I could do it alone. That you could do it alone. During their walk to Capernaum, in the months leading up to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, he hears his disciples arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. Which of them, in other words, will be seated next to Jesus when he comes into power in his kingdom? We get a strong sense of Jesus's worry for his disciples, his worry for his followers, that they still do not get the kind of relationship, the kind of leadership the kind of kingdom of God to which he is pointing. So Jesus says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. So after several years of being with Jesus night and day throughout his ministry, the disciples do not seem to still get it. They perhaps accurately, though, are representative of so many of us that often miss the point of Christ's teaching and the mission of God's church. And so Jesus takes a child in his arms and he says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, is not about being first. It is about serving others in Christ's name and in cooperation with others, with the very will and activity of God. Father Richard Rohr, a well-known Franciscan priest, now close to 70, who writes these really marvelous works, he's a Franciscan priest, has written in his latest book the following. He said, this mystery has been called the conspiracy, the co-breathing of God. And it is still one of the most profound ways to understand what is happening between God and the soul. True spirituality, he writes, is always a deep cooperating between two. True spirituality, he writes, is a kind of synergy in which both parties give and both parties receive to create one shared truth and joy. The name of the book is Falling Upward. And to cooperate with God is recognition that we cannot live life on our own. We need others. And most of all, we need God. God, perhaps persuaded by his son Jesus, knew that we could not do it alone. The gift of the Holy Spirit is proof. That Holy Spirit that is present in our midst today. The Holy Spirit was to be that of encourager, the gentle guide, if you will, sometimes the not so gentle guide, the very wisdom of God to move our minds and our hearts to understanding how Christ's followers, how you and I, we're now to live out and carry forth the kingdom of God which he inaugurated. Jesus says later in the gospel, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will remind us that we must conspire, if you will, with one another. We must cooperate with each other in order to live this life to its fullness. Have you, like me, ever fooled yourself into believing that you could do it alone? Have you ever yourself gone it alone, if you will, and become dehydrated, close to death, and in need of IV fluids? Each day of our lives, the Holy Spirit is all around us, swirling around us, wanting you to be open to the encouragement to cooperate with God. to be in relationship with each other, to know that God does not want you to go it alone. Amen.